Great figure. Next case for argument is Pickett versus Ingalls Memorial Hospital. Mr. Audley.
May it please the court. My name is David Audley, and I'm the attorney for the plaintiff appellant, Lawrence Pickett. The case comes before this court on the granting of a summary judgment motion filed by the defendant, Ingalls Hospital, on Mr. Pickett's two claims, those being violations of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act in Section 1981. The district court determined that under the McDonnell-Douglas burden-shifting approach, that Mr. Pickett had not established a prima facie case to allow the burden shifting to the defendant and allow them to put their proofs on as to their elements of defense. Specifically, what the district court determined was that, based upon admissions of three of the four elements of the prima facie case by the defendant, Ingalls Hospital, that nonetheless, Mr. Pickett was not similarly situated to the two white females who otherwise were returned at what Ingalls Hospital characterized as a reduction in workforce implementation in 1999. Mr. Pickett had started as a senior patient representative in 1990 at Ingalls Hospital and had remained there through 1999, at least according to Ingalls' records, in good stead, had not had any criticisms written in his files as to his work performance, timeliness, punctuality, ability to interface with the community at large, etc. In 1997, Mr. Pickett was transferred to a customer service representative position, which was characterized at that point by a gentleman by the name of Kirk Johnson, who was currently the CEO of Pickett, as a temporary kind of a holding position for Mr. Pickett. At or about the time of Mr. Pickett's termination in June of 1999, he received a telephone call. The telephone call was from a Beverly Klinkhammer, who was his supervisor at the time. At the time of his, he was told to come in to discuss a medical absence. He did so. He came in, and for the first time he was told he was terminated. For the first time he told there was a reduction in workforce going on. And for the first time, he was told that he didn't qualify at that point for any open positions.
Where was he when he had to be called in?
He was home on medical leave pursuant to a medical report that had been provided by treating physicians, which were both acknowledged and in writing signed by Ms. Klinkhammer when he came into the termination meeting. He was at home. They had his home telephone number. They knew where he was. They knew how to reach him. And as part of the facts that were presented to the district court below, to show that he was treated differently, even though he had the same job title, the same job responsibilities, the same salary, and otherwise everything else was similar to the two white females. The two white females, pursuant to the affidavits that Mr. Pickett had provided in his deposition testimony, had acknowledged and admitted to him that they were contacted weeks ahead of time, told about the reduction in workforce by telephone, same type of process that they could have contacted Mr. Pickett, in which they did to arrange the termination meeting, were given advance notice of apparently something called a bidding process, which to this day we really don't understand what it is, or Mr. Pickett certainly had either no knowledge of it and certainly was not allowed to participate in it. Apparently, what was going on behind the scenes, at least from Mr. Pickett's perspective, was a process whereby certain individuals were given advance notice of this reduction in workforce, were given advance notice of some sort of a bidding process, which were just intuiting.
Well, what's the evidence for a bidding process?
The affidavits filed by both Jan McAfee, by Ms. McAfee and Ms. Ruffalo, which were submitted by the defendant, which talked about a bidding process that they were allowed to bid in. Mr. Hargreaves, who also
did they use the word bidding?
I believe, Your Honor, if the affidavits didn't use the words bidding, it came out in the deposition testimony of Mr. Hargreaves that that was the process by which this attempt to qualify.
Did Hargreaves use the word bidding?
Your Honor, I believe that it was not only used by Mr. Hargreaves, but I believe I believe, Your Honor, by both of the affiants in the sense that if, I believe Mr. Harvey used the word bidding. I believe also that the FLE used the phrase bidding process in their appellate briefs as well in referring
did,
to the
did Hargreaves had anything to do with these other women's, with these two, the two women's jobs?
No, Your Honor.
In your reply brief, you make a lot of contentions about Hargreaves, which suggests that he was inexperienced and didn't know what was going on, didn't know anything about Pickett. Is that a correct characterization?
Yes, Your Honor. Absolutely. As a
what does that have to do with discrimination?
Well, what it shows is that he made no attempt to understand Mr. Pickett's background to show that there was any attempt whatsoever to match Mr. Pickett with an open job position. The district court felt that the similarly situated requirement of a prima facie case required that Mr. Pickett be immediately qualified for a then open position to transfer to the extent that Mr. Hargreaves took no opportunity to learn about Mr. Pickett's qualification, both educational, prior work history, etc., is reflective of what, from the appellant's position, was simply a pretext here using the reduction in workforce to allow the two white females to transfer into other jobs without allowing...
But Hargreaves had nothing to do with the other women, with the women, did he?
That's correct, Your Honor, in the sense of allowing them to transfer. Those were made by other supervisors. That's correct, Your Honor. But he did have participation in the sense that he was made aware of either Ms. Klinghammer calling these individuals ahead of time, and Mr. Hargreaves admitted in his deposition that he was made aware of at least a period of time ahead of the termination meeting with Mr. Pickett that they had been contacted, and that this apparent attempt to qualify was given to them ahead of Mr. Pickett.
But I thought they were people whose previous positions still existed and Pickett's didn't.
Almost, Your Honor. Certainly from Ms. Ruffalo's position, clinical associate was there. From Ms. McAfee, the patient billing rep, there was possibly a slight difference in what their prior job titles were and responsibilities were and what they could slide into. We acknowledge to this court that we have never contested that the other two individuals did not have job qualifications or skills to transfer into the other jobs. But we respectfully submit that that begs the question of the discrimination, as Mr. Pickett alleged, against Ingalls, in this sense, that what you have to allow in a reduction in workforce scenario is at least roughly similar opportunities to participate. And Mr. Pickett did not or was not availed even a rough similarity to participate if Mr. Pickett's factual statements in his affidavit and his testimony are to be given any credence at all. He was called in to discuss the medical absence, not to discuss a termination or reduction in workforce or even given any, to use this phrase, heads up as to an ability to qualify. And we believe under the district court's misapplication of the cases such as Ball State and Radu that the court almost reduced the prima facie element of similarly situated to identically situated. Certainly, Mr. Pickett did not have a job title in his prior history that matched exactly any verbiage of a list of open positions at the time. And from that perspective, he was not given the same opportunity to participate, even though he was similarly situated.
Well, now, did Hargreaves treat other employees differently?
Yes, Your Honor. We believe so. And we believe that the record reflects that.
What's the evidence of that?
The evidence is that Mr. Pickett was advised by both Ms. McAfee and Ms. Ruffalo, as set forth in his affidavit at paragraph 13, which is in the record, that they were contacted at least 2 weeks prior.
No, I'm talking about Hargreaves.
Mr. Hargreaves, that contacted at least 2 weeks prior, either by Bev Klinghammer at the direction of Mr. Hargreaves, or Mr. Hargreaves himself to talk about termination.
No, what's the evidence that was at the direction of Hargreaves?
Your Honor, the testimony of Mr. Hargreaves in his deposition was that he believed it was probable that Ms. Klinkhammer contacted these individuals.
Yes, I understand. What is the testimony about Hargreaves having directed Klinkhammer to do this?
There is no direct evidence of that, Your
Honor. Well, what's the indirect evidence?
Well, the indirect evidence is he is the director of human resources. He is the individual who was employed to provide the implementation of this reduction in workforce, and I respectfully submit that that is more than simply indirect evidence when he also acknowledged that he was knowledgeable of Klinkhammer contacting these individuals ahead of time. Certainly, I don't have his statement on the record, yes, I contacted them, or yes, I directed Ms. Klinkhammer to do so, but to suggest on the basis of this record that he had no knowledge of that protocol, I think respectfully.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Audley. Mr. Rowan?
May it please the Court, David Rowland on behalf of Defendant Ingalls Memorial Hospital, appellee in this court. The fact is that there is no evidence that the individuals who were retained by Ingalls were similarly situated to Mr. Pickett in any relevant sense. Yes, they all held the same position, but it's undisputed in this court that that position was in fact eliminated, that all were slated for layoff.
Well, Mr. Audley has presented this argument. He says there's evidence that Hargreaves, through Klinkhammer, operating through Klinkhammer, helped these two women find alternative jobs, but wouldn't do anything for Pickett.
Right.
So is there anything wrong with that argument?
What's wrong with it is that there's no evidence to support it, Your Honor. The testimony that was elicited from Mr. Hargreaves was that as to Ms. Ruffalo, quote, somebody may have talked to her about the position or the fact that her position was being eliminated before June 28th. As to Ms. McAfee, he said it's likely somebody had a discussion with her, but he had no personal knowledge of it whatsoever, nor did he direct anyone to do those things. Again, we're talking about the fundamental difference being that these two individuals were employed during that time period and were actively coming to work each day. Mr. Pickett was on leave for basically the entire month of June.
That distinction, I'd be more interested in knowing what that would have to do as far as contacting. Now, supposedly he was called in because of missing work or something, as opposed to announce, I wasn't quite clear, but instead of announcing a rift, that wasn't the purpose of the meeting.
Right.
But it obviously he wasn't there. I assume everybody who's working there knows there's a rift. I don't know whether that's fair or not, but usually those kind of rumors get around. Maybe he wasn't there. What is the distinction for his not being there versus how the others were treated?
The distinction is that the only evidence in the record is that Ruffalo and McAfee became aware of the fact that they were being laid off. They looked at available positions that were posted and applied for those jobs. Now, the fact that he was at home and could have been contacted requires that extra step of Hargreaves, the employee who's been there all of 2 months at the time, who's never met Mr. Pickett. He did not meet him until the meeting in which he explained his termination, because that was Mr. Hargreaves' duty to explain the termination. That he somehow had an animus and then chose not to call him at home would require him to have the knowledge that the individual wasn't working.
Would have been employed for only 2 months?
Mr. Hargreaves.
Hargreaves?
Yes, and so he had actually never met Mr. Pickett. So the fact of the matter is Ruffalo and McAfee were in a much better position to pick up on the hearsay or information that floats around the workplace about pending risk and do something to find themselves jobs. What plaintiff asks of this court is that because he wasn't there, Mr. Pickett, that Mr. Hargreaves should have gone out of his way to do more to put him on an equal footing with those two individuals. And Title VII doesn't require that in this context. He doesn't have to even the playing field because he didn't make it uneven. It's not a situation where he was put in a negative circumstance, Mr. Pickett, and then somehow the system was jiggered to harm him. In fact, their circumstances were all quite different. Ruffalo and McAfee had held positions that were open and posted at the time. They applied for those positions and received them. Mr. Pickett's only positions with the hospital, two of them, had both been eliminated. There was no obvious match for him.
Does this term bidding process appear in the record?
In fact, in the affidavits of Ruffalo and McAfee, As to Ms. Ruffalo, she said, in reviewing job postings at Ingalls, I found that Ingalls was looking for a clinical aid position. I bid on it. So it refers to bidding, but only in the sense that it was a posted position. Similarly, with respect to the McAfee affidavits, Your Honor, in reviewing job postings, I found that Ingalls affiliate was looking for a full-time patient accounts representative. She actually was working in that job part-time, and the job was posted full-time, and she accepted that. So it says, I requested and was offered this position. So, yes, there is a job posting, and in fact, the record evidence is that Mr. Pickett admits to receiving the job listing at the time of the meeting.
So bidding means applying for a job. It doesn't mean some competitive process.
Exactly. And it may or may not be competitive if more than one bidder applies on it.
It's not like an auction.
Are these published, I should say job openings or whatever is available for application, were they available to Mr. Pickett as well? Could he have gone and looked at wherever they are posted?
They're posted in the hospital, and he also admits in the record in this case that he was handed that very job listing by Mr. Hargrave at the time of the termination meeting. Now, he cast a sinister cloud over that meeting and says that he was told he wasn't qualified for jobs. The record evidence, he does admit that he received it. He also claims and admits that he never actually submitted for a job on that list until 6 months later after he had already been terminated. So the fact of the matter is, as to the job posting process, they were on a level playing field.
What was this medical problem that he was on leave?
Actually, it was somewhat amorphous. The original doctor's note didn't explain exactly why he was out. In the ADA portion of this case below, which has not been appealed, he seemed to be claiming a mental disability, depression, and those sorts of symptoms, but it's never been clear
depression.
A mental condition of some sort, but it was never clarified. And with that, Your Honor, we would ask that the judgment be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rowland. Mr. Rowland, your time has expired, so we thank both of you.